Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message. The
Bible says, "And Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?'" We're coming back. I know Easter was last week, but I want you to come back to the Easter scene this morning, the crucifixion and the resurrection. And like I said from the beginning, we're going to finish John by studying the characters surrounding the cross from John's perspective. And this morning and next week, we're going to be looking at Peter and Peter's interaction with Jesus before his crucifixion and after his crucifixion. And we're going to be answering two questions. And number one, what does God want us to do? Because Peter and Jesus had a different view of God's will. And Peter's view was his interpretation of the signs and who Jesus was and understanding Jesus' specific mission when he came. And the second question we're going to answer next week is, how does God respond to us when we fail? Or do we understand, or do we have prejudice? Do we have preconceived ideas of how God or how Jesus will respond to our failures? Now, as you remember last week when we discussed Thomas and Peter, We're talking about two people that were staunch followers of Jesus. Peter was the first to confess that Jesus was the Son of God. Peter was willing to defend who Jesus is, defend him as the Messiah, and as we just read, he was ready to take his sword out and defend Jesus. So we're talking about somebody that loved Jesus. And as we think about this idea of disappointing somebody, if we're going to feel bad about disappointing somebody, we have to love them, don't we? If we're never disappointed in ourselves of how we treat others, maybe we don't love them that much. Maybe we see the world through everything revolves around us. But the reality of our humanity, the reality of our flesh is that no matter how much we strive for perfection, we will disappoint people. We can have the best intentions. We can maybe be uncaring or we care or whatever. No matter how hard we try in our humanity, we will disappoint people. Fortunately, by God's grace, we can learn through those failures. A few weeks ago, I had let somebody down, and they had talked to me about it. And to be honest with you, I was ashamed. I was embarrassed that I had let this person down. And fortunately, when I owned up to it and apologized to the person was very, very gracious to me and understood. And I think that's sometimes how we approach God. We're ashamed. We don't want to come back to God. We think he's going to be angry. But oftentimes, when we come back to God, he's willing to receive us. He's willing to restore that relationship. So as we come to Peter, remember, Peter had some specific expectations of what the Messiah was going to do. He was looking for Jesus to be that political leader. And so his wavering here is not that he didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah, that he didn't understand the purpose of God. We're going to see that when we get to John chapter 20 later on. They didn't understand. They were slow to believe. And Peter, as we come to the crucifixion, we're coming to a critical time. We're coming to a crisis in Jesus' reign, if you will, and Jesus' messiahship, and how he's being perceived by his disciples. And Peter set himself up, didn't he? Like, you got to watch what you say. But he said, and as they were having the Lord's Supper, and as he was, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so chimed in, or so said the other disciples. Yeah, Peter, us too. And so Peter, that night, was still fighting for an earthly kingdom. He was still fighting for the physical kingdom. And when we come to Jesus, we continually have that struggle, don't we? We have that struggle between the flesh and the spirit, living after the old ways and embracing the new ways. And Paul said in Romans 7:15, for what I am doing, I do not understand. How many times do Christian leaders say they're doing something for God? It's not their will. How many times do parents or maybe husbands, we have to be careful how we represent God. I was talking to a church that used to support us, and a pastor came in, and I was talking with the assistant pastor there and just praying for him, because this pastor came in and sat down with all the board, said, this is God brought me here. God, this is God's will. I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. And less than a year later, he came to him and says, God's will for him to go to another place. We have to be careful. God doesn't change his mind. So Peter had this misrepresentation of what God wants to. And it's in the key, the key is in what Jesus said. Put your sword into the sheath. Okay, it's not time to fight. Shall I drink of the cup which my Father has given me? The path of discipleship is a path of suffering. Peter needed his degree in suffering. That's what he didn't get. That's what he failed to see. And it says it in John, they failed to see the sufferings of Jesus. Peter failed to see that the Christian life is a life of suffering. Paul said this in Acts 14:22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And Peter tells them later, we'll see next week, he told Peter, you are going to die for me. You are going to suffer for me. And so what Peter didn't comprehend and what he didn't see was the suffering Savior. He wanted the miraculous Savior, the powerful Savior, the Savior that was going to make him the prime minister. It's not that he didn't believe in Jesus. He wholeheartedly believed in Jesus, but he missed something. He missed this suffering. Now, we won't go there, but you can read 1 Peter. And what does Peter start with? The fiery trial of our faith, more precious than gold. Peter learned later on in his writings, he learned and he understood it in hindsight, that the sufferings were more precious than gold. He got his degree in suffering. So Peter missed this part. Now notice verse 15 of chapter 18. Then Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did the other disciples. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. So they're following Jesus being arrested. And Some of them knew somebody, right? Nothing's changed, right? You have to know somebody. But Peter stood at the door outside, and the other disciple who was known of the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. So they brought Peter in, and there he is. And so Peter is following Jesus from afar. Now notice verse 17. And the servant girl, so here's Peter. Now he's not so bold. Now he doesn't have this. And I can understand. And we kind of, you know, there's a certain, you know, you could preach, you know, he was following Jesus from afar. But think about it. He had a plan. He raised the sword. He was courageous. He expected Jesus to follow up and the other disciples. But now all his power was taken away. He was on his own. Like he thought about, I imagine, I may be wrong, but I'm supposing that when he took up that sword, he thought and was hoping, maybe hoping more than he thought, that Jesus would come with his power because he knew his power. And when he realized he didn't have the power of Jesus, he got afraid. And you know, that happens with us. That's why it's so important to keep close to God. Because when you're not close to God, you don't have the power of Jesus. You know, don't quench the Holy Spirit. And so here Peter is. He had this great plan. Now he's left without the power to fulfill the plan. And so, we have to be careful. And not to be presumptuous. Not to jump ahead of God. God has a plan. God has it all figured out. And we will see it. And so, here's Peter, verse 17. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples?" What do you say? "I'm not." "Yeah, you go to that Faith Baptist church. I saw you in a video over there. Are you one of those Bible thumpers? Those closed-minded bigots?" "No, not me. What are you talking about? Faith what?" And here's Peter flatly denying the Lord, even though he said, "I will never deny." I think that's why we relate to Peter. Verse 18, "Now the servants and the officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself." And there he was, warming himself with the enemy. This could make a good sermon of its own, but I think it was just cold. And he really didn't know what to do. Because his plan just fell away. And here he was, "Do I run? Do I hide? Do I say?" Now Simon Peter, verse 25, stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of the disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." See, when we get away from the Lord, and the further we get away from the Lord, the easier it is to deny him. And it's funny here, one of the servants of the high priest, a relative, boy, the word spread fast, didn't it? They didn't even have CNN back then. They didn't have, like, notifications on your phone. But the word spread. "Didn't I see you in the garden with him?" "No, not me. That wasn't me." Peter could preach a really good sermon on Sunday, but Monday is a different story, huh? And what happened? Then Peter denied again, and immediately the rooster crowed. Now you know what the scripture says. It's not recorded here in John, but Jesus did say to Peter, "This night you'll deny me before the rooster crowed." Peter fell flat on his face. And we know from other portions of Scripture that he wept bitterly. But let's consider something about this. Because consider that Peter was on the wrong path. And he had to fail. Failure is a step towards knowing God and discovering his plan. Like, we look at this and we see that we can learn from the mistakes. We can trace back the mistakes Peter made. But Peter had to fail. And you know what the truth is? You have to fail. And I have to fail. Let me a little parenthesis here. Parents, you got to let your kids fail. You got to let them fail. We can't protect our kids from failing. Failing's a part of learning. Falling down on your face will help you learn to ride a bicycle better. Or not to climb that tree that has no branches. There are lessons to be learned in our lives, but there's lessons to be learned in our spiritual lives. And we look at failure as something devastating, but I think failure is an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to learn, and we know Peter learned. And sometimes it's better to fail so we can get to the heart of the matter. Because when we don't fail, we fake it. Like Peter was faking it, right? I'll never deny you, Lord. I got my sword. I'm going with you. And Peter was the first to say, "Whom do you believe?" "We believe you're the Messiah, Christ the Lord." And a few verses later, Jesus calls him Satan. Get behind me, Satan. For your thoughts are not God's thoughts. Think about that. Think about that we can be loving God, following God, but deceived and doing God, Satan's plan. And so Peter had to fail. Sometimes it's better to fail. There's nothing wrong with failing. It's what you do after you fail. It's how you grow through the failure, how you learn through the failure, how you get back up through the failure. And so we come to the resurrection. Verse 6 of chapter 20. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there. And notice this, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in the place by itself. So here's the sign. The body wasn't stolen. The clothes weren't laying around. It was folded. It was put there to a sign. I'm alive. Of course, that would be the opposite in my house. If my wife came back from being away and everything was folded, she'd be suspicious. Everything was thrown around. Yeah, he's around, no problem. And here's Peter comes. You remember that Mary had said they had stolen him. The stone was rolled away. John and Peter had a race to get to the tomb. They went in, and as soon as they saw that folded handkerchief, hope grew up in their hearts. Hope came from within. The saying, as they, because you remember, come back to Peter. He's expecting this political leader, and now he was crucified. He died. Peter had left his fishing business, his father. He was probably ridiculed as a, you know, how could you leave the family business? How could you put yourself in this financial situation, and now your Savior is dead. And with a dead Savior, there's no hope. And so as soon as he saw the folded linen cloth in its place, what does the Bible say? Then the other disciples who came to the tomb first went in also. And what does it say? And he saw and believed. He saw and believed. Why is John written? John is written that you may believe. Peter wanted to take his sword out to defend the Lord. You know what God wants you to do this morning? To believe. He wants you to believe. He's not interested in all these things you want to do for him. The Pharisees did a lot of wonderful works, Jesus said, in God's name. But Jesus said, I never knew you. And so as we come to Peter and we see his failings and we see his failing to grasp it, what the lesson for us this morning is that God wants you to believe. God wants you to believe there's hope for tomorrow. God wants you to believe there is victory for your failures. God wants you to believe in his word. God wants you to believe that you can get back up. God wants you to believe you can get through this tough assignment or this difficult family situation or this new job or whatever God's called you to do, whether it's working in Awana or whether it's just talking to your neighbor. He wants you to believe that he is risen again and that his power works in mysterious ways, and you never know what God's word will do in the hearts and souls of people as we preach the gospel. But the way is through suffering. Unfortunately, there's no ministry without suffering. And that's the point that Peter didn't understand. He wanted the glory without the cross. There's no glory without the cross. And that's why Jesus died. But the good news, he rose again. And when he went into that tomb, in spite of all his failures, he believed. Now next week we'll see Jesus' response to Peter and how God responds to our failures. But this morning, the message is, and the message has been throughout the Gospel of John, do we believe? Let's stand and pray this morning. Heavenly Father, as we meditate upon this message, help us to believe. Lord, maybe there's somebody that needs to be saved. Maybe there's somebody that needs to be baptized next week. Maybe there's somebody that's facing a difficult situation, maybe a health problem, maybe a conflict, maybe a marriage difficulty. Help them to believe there is hope. Help them to believe that you have risen from the dead. And because you have risen from the dead, there is always hope. And Lord, how Peter, through his boasting, fell on his face, but yet you restored him because you rose from the dead. Help us to believe in your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You come as we sing. God spoke in your heart this morning. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Maybe you need to ask Jesus to save you. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, I failed. Forgive me. Restore me. Help me to learn the lesson I need to learn. You come as we sing this morning.
As we sing this song, I just want to encourage you. if God's laying on your heart to come to him, to run to him, that no matter how many times we failed, we can run to him each and every time again and again, and that he is there with open arms. He wants you to come to him. Let's not wait any longer. Let's not wait till next time or in the future, because we don't have the promise that that time will come. So let's come to him this morning. I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. And I see it now, I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. I'll run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, oh. You saw my condition, had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. I don't have a contest for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I'll run to the Father. Done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, again and again and again and again. Has been in your sights long before my first breath, running into your arms is running from life, from death. And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart found a surgeon, my soul found a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 again and again.
I just think about that song. I run to the Father. What does it say? Again and again. I think one of the misconceptions in our pride, well, God forgave me once. I'm too ashamed to run again. Then I mess up again. And then we say, well, grace knows no limits. So as you think about Peter, don't think about that as just one time. Run to the Father Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Run to Him. When we fail, run. Don't run from Him. Run to Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we see ourselves so much in Peter. And yet, he preached and 3,000 people came to know you. Lord, help us to run. Help us not to run from you, to run to you. Help us, Lord, this morning to believe in your grace, in your forgiveness, in your restorative power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.